But there's two particular verses in Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 2, verse 42, and Acts chapter 2, verse 46, that give a very compact description of what this church looked like. And you remember now, we're in Acts chapter 2. It's just, I mean, this is, Christ hasn't ascended that far before, and the Spirit of God has just come. But we get our first glimpse of what people who are followers of Christ, who are indwelt by the Spirit of God, who are banding together as a body of believers to serve Christ together, what that looks like. And there's a number of words that Luke gives under the inspiration of Scripture to describe the church. We talked about how that they were together in prayer. If you want to go back to verse, we're going to look at verse 46 tonight, but if you go back to verse 42, just to recap for a moment, it says, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship." We looked at in depth at that word fellowship in one of our earlier sessions. "And in the breaking of bread and in prayers." Last time we were studying together, we took a look at that word for prayer and kind of tried to break that down. Verse 46 is another sort of a summary verse, and it really spills over into 47. But verse 46 says, "Speaking of these same people, so continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart." If you go back to the beginning of that verse, our words actually, that we want to, it's actually two words that we want to look at tonight, is where it says, continuing daily with one accord. That's what we're going to pull out. We're just going to do a brief Bible study on that subject, and hopefully to remind us what it's like to be in the body of believers, what it's like to be, as a local church, the body of Christ. And there's lots of instruction for us here. But it says they continued daily. That's an important aspect of it. This was not a one-shot deal. This was not temporary. This was not something that happened on a big high holy day and we'll get back to it some other time. This was the continual, repetitive status of this group of people. They were continually with one accord. It wasn't that they achieved unity or they had a period of unity or they were together for a while. This was all the while, if you will. Let's go to our word study, and I've just kind of put a paragraph on your sheet so that you can have something to take with you. I know this is a little bit technical. The application is pretty simple, but it's a bit technical. This word that's translated one accord, it's one word that's translated for two words in English, is homothumadon is the word. It's a compound word. We think of putting words together with different pieces, it kind of becomes a new meaning, and that's this compound word. It's used 12 times in the New Testament. It's used 10 of those 12 times in the book of Acts, so it's a favorite word of Luke as he writes this book of Acts. But it helps us understand the uniqueness of this community. The thing that marked them was they were of one accord. They were this way. It's a compound word from two words, one which means to rush along or to move, and the other one be to in unison or together. Homo is a Greek term which means that which is the same. Like if you talk about homogenized milk, it's been all kind of mooshed together into a common consistency. So it's that which is moving, traveling, but as it travels along, it's in step with each other. When I first was working on this word, the first thing I thought about, and you know, I like to have word pictures that help me. When I was in high school, I was in the marching band. And when you would march down the street or you would march on the field for halftime or whatever, you were expected to keep in step with everybody else, and you were expected to be in line with everybody else, and you would line up this way and this way. And we had a band director that was not shy about telling you when you were out of step or out of line, because that was very important for the precision of a marching band, and obviously the music as well. So when I think of this moving along but in unison, that's kind of the word picture. We're marching in step. And if you've ever, and I guess since I was in the band, I'm now the expert on it, because every once in a while, every other year or so, Julie and I usually go to the band festival they have down at Laidley Field. And I can spot them when they're out of step. I can see it a mile away. And part of the reason you can see it a mile away is it's very easy to see when someone is out of step or out of line. And, you know, give them a break. They're high school kids. They're out there doing their best. You wouldn't want to see me do that at this age. But that's what I think of. There's something else that's kind of fitting here. It's in the writer that I borrowed this from. And by the way, I usually try to give credit when I just take a paragraph out. But the work I took it from gave no reference to who wrote it. So somebody out there wrote this nice description of this word, and I'm giving them credit even if I don't know their name. But this is, I did not write this. This is something that I borrowed. But the image is almost musical. I love this picture as well. A number of notes are sounded together, which, while different, harmonize in pitch and tone. As most of you know, I'm married to a woman who is very musical and is a musician, and I will try my best to use a musical metaphor, but if I get this wrong, just tell me later, okay? Don't tell me now. Just let me go with it. But I think I have this correct. If you put notes together correctly, it makes a chord, right? And is it not true that you have to have three notes to be a chord? Two or three. Thank you. So, but they sound together, and all I know is when it's a good chord, it sounds good. You know, whatever it is. But if I went up there to the piano and picked out three notes and plunked them all at the same time, I probably have about a 30% chance that I'm going to hit three that sound good. But if you have one that doesn't fit the chord, it just you think of the, now this never happens in our choir. Okay, this is all going to be imaginary for next moment. This never ever I've never heard it. But if you have all the people filling up those seats up there and they're singing, if someone hits a wrong note, you probably, and they're singing with enough vocal projection to hear it, that wrong note really stands out. That which doesn't fit, that doesn't harmonize, that's the wrong note, or the squeaky note on the trumpet, or the voice that's a little off, it also, we have a reaction to it. It bothers us. Now, we want to be nice to people because people are trying their best, whether they're marching in the band or whether they're singing in the choir, but the wrong note really stands out. So when he talks about they were with one accord, it's like they are a musical group all hitting the right notes to make a very unified, melodious, is that the right word, sound. It has a great sound. It's pleasing. So it was like when people would look at them and, oh, they're in homothumadon. They are in unison. They're all doing something, but it all fits together perfectly. While different, it harmonizes in pitch and tone. As the instruments of a great concert under the direction of a concert master, so the Holy Spirit blends together the lives of members of Christ's church. I love that thought because there's something very beautiful and refreshing about a beautiful sound coming out of there. Now, they weren't making sounds in the sense of music, but out of their lives, it was all fitting together. All fitting together. And it was something that could be identified. Before we get into our implications and applications tonight, understand this point. Actually, I'll just save it for later. Never mind. Let's go to the implications. I'll include it in later. I've just got 4 points and then 4 applications. Let's just think our way through this for just a moment. It says, they continued daily with one accord. They were together. They were in harmony. They were fitting together. People recognized them as a group that were, very different people, but they were all about the same thing. Number one, implications. We can sing different parts but the same song. I really wish I could sing harmony. I really can't. I can pick out whatever the main melody in the song is sometimes. Sometimes I even have trouble with that. But to hear, like when the quartet sings or you hear the choir singing and the different parts fitting together, frankly, it's almost like magic when I hear it. When I hear someone singing bass or a lady singing alto or tenor, it all blends together. It sounds so good when it works. Now, for me, I just am not musically, vocally, either have the ability or trained, one or the other, to be able to do that. But I love hearing it. It does not mean that everybody has to be cut out of a cookie cutter. Different parts, but the same song. You think about us. Let's just look around the room, if you dare. We are extremely different people. We have different backgrounds. We have different histories. We have different abilities, gifts, interests, passions, things we like, things we don't like. I bet if we just really wanted to pull all the things that we disagreed on, we could have a pretty good pile of them. And we have different approaches to life. But there is something that harmonizes us together. That in spite of all that difference, different people, but we're singing the same song. Number two, we have different gifts, abilities, and ministries, but we strive for the same purpose and person. That's what harmonizes us. We're about accomplishing the same thing, and we're about honoring and bringing glory to the same person. And frankly, if we want to have unity, we want to have one accordness, that's where it begins, and frankly, that's where it ends. Maybe you've been in settings where, we need unity on this. That means you need to change your opinion and match what we think. That'll be unity. Or we've been places maybe where if you'll just be quiet, we'll have unity. But the unity that brings us together is not conformity to what everybody else says or thinks, but that all of us are about the same purpose. The purpose for which God created the church. Jesus established the church. Jesus told us about the church. And frankly, the church exists for one purpose. It's found in the Great Commission. You can find it in Matthew 28. The church is if a church was a manufacturing organization, we manufacture one product. What we are turning out of the process is followers of Christ, disciples, if you will. That's what we are producing. That starts with people coming to know Christ as their Savior, but it certainly doesn't end there. It means fully growing and thriving and reproducing and glorifying God, disciples of Christ. That's our purpose. And then one person. The person is our Savior, the head of the body, the Lord Jesus Christ. If you go down to the end of the verse, verse 46, you have sort of a reflection, if you will. It's sort of an echo of the one accord. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their food with gladness and singleness of heart. That's just kind of another way of kind of reflecting back. They had one purpose, one person. If we're all about the one person and the one purpose, that's where we can have one accordness as well as diversity. That's why when we see each other in the body of Christ, we love each other. Why? Because they know Jesus, and they're about His purpose. They're different than me. I don't judge their differences, but what I do is embrace the purpose that we have together. If we are all about what God is building, which is His church, and all about the person that we bring glorified. Now, number three, one note out of line makes the whole chord sound very bad. You can pick that wrong note out a mile away. And you think about it. He says, this group were daily with one accord doing these other things in the temple, house to house, eating their food with gladness and singleness of heart, purpose. But they were, as they did these things, there was this one accordness, different yet all moving together. They were different parts but singing the same songs. They were harmonizing together very, very well. But it only takes one person to throw the whole band off or to throw the whole choir off. And frankly, it only takes one person to throw the whole church off as far as its one accordness. I don't want to be that person. And I know you don't want to be that person. And we don't want any of us to be that person. So this should be one of those realities that brings us back to how I live and how I walk with the Lord affects not only me, not only my inner circle, my family, but it affects the church family, the body of Christ. I don't want to be the one that hits the wrong sour note and has everybody go, oh. So it is important for us to hit our notes and hit our marks and to do it well. Four, a good sound is instantly recognized and attractive. As I already told you, I don't know how to sing harmony. But when I hear a group of people singing in harmony in the different parts, I immediately know whether it's, I can form an opinion whether that's good or bad. I may not be able to define it, but I recognize it when I hear it. The world that's out there, if they look at us, they can recognize it when they see it, even if they can't define it. They may not know what causes it. They may not know anything about the Jesus who brings us into a common purpose and a common body. They may not understand that. But there is something very powerful about a group of people working in harmony and being of one accord, and it stood out. This group of people stood out among the greater Jewish community, and these were all Jews at this point there in Jerusalem. Now, application. Let's talk about four things that we can put into our thinking. Number one, adopt the philosophy that no one in the body is optional. We all have a part to play. We all have a part to play. When I was in band, I remember one particular song we played in concert season. It had a part for a triangle. Metal triangle, got a little metal stick, and you go, bing. And somebody had to be assigned, you know, here was the trumpets and the trombones and all the woodwinds playing all this fancy music. Someone just had to stand there with a piece of metal and a little metal stick going, bing. At the right time. And I remember thinking, I'd rather do what I'm doing than I'd have that job. But I remember in rehearsal, if you ever went ding at the wrong time, our band director, he heard it every single time. Every single time. And there's no part, there's no instrument that is optional. It needs to fit. So don't ever think, oh, I'm unimportant, or forbid this ever happened, that we would ever think, oh, they are unimportant. Everyone has a role to play. Not everybody's going to do the trumpet solo. Somebody's got to play the bass drum, and someone's got to play the triangle. But it all is important if the purpose and the song is going to harmonize together. So just understand, everybody is of value. Everybody is important. Number two, center our focus on purpose and His person. We've already kind of covered that, but just to be able to say it again, I think is important. We should just remind ourselves often, and we should remind ourselves with passion about what it is that we do. Now, there's all sorts of things that the church has looked at. Some people think the church is just another charity organization. We're just here to help the poor and the people that have trouble. That's a great thing to do, but that is not the sum total of what we are. We are not here just to meet our needs, a place where we can come and have our family and friends and our social network and all of that. It's more than just what we need, but it's to produce followers of Christ, and as we as followers of Christ to continue to grow in that. And it's about what Jesus is accomplishing and who He is. We need to give Him credit for everything. To Him goes the glory. Have you noticed that God is really not interested in sharing His glory with anybody else? He has absolutely no interest in doing that. And there's no one with whom He should share His glory. Back in Isaiah 14, we studied this last summer. But when Satan fell into rebellion against God and he's cast out of heaven, remember what he said? He said, I will be like the Most High. I want a chunk of God's glory. I want some of the spotlight that's shining on him to shine on me. And that being lifted up with pride, it was the condemnation. Jesus says it this way. That's the condemnation of the devil. Give him credit for everything. Just we need to put that in our vocabulary, put that in our heart. If we can now I hope we'll get this, but if we can agree with the purpose, we should be able to support the method. What I mean by that is this: the purpose that we're doing is where we start and where we end. Maybe we use methods that, you know, we never used as when I was a kid, and maybe, you know, and they have to fit and they have to be purposeful. We don't do things just because they're cute or desirable, but you know what? There's different ways to do ministry. And we just need to understand that. We need to just be about purpose, not get hung up on the right thing. Just sometimes we get so caught up in the in minor stuff, we miss the big stuff. And we just need to make sure that we don't do that. Number four, let others hear the harmony. Let others hear what's going on. One of the things that I would just want to remind you of is this. Sometime between now and the next time we're together, which if our schedule holds will be Sunday morning or next Wednesday, whatever, however you want to do it, there's probably somebody that you could run into, and you probably will run into. Maybe they work at the desk next to you. Maybe you see them where you do business or banking or whatever. Maybe it's a neighbor across the picket fence if you have one of those. Maybe it's a family member. But somebody out there really needs to hear what's going on in this body of believers. Hey, can I just tell you what's going on in my church? Not to build up our church. It's Christ's church, ultimately. But we can share that kind of enthusiasm. We can share, because you know what? We live in a day where people are very cynical about church in many circles. You've heard it, haven't you? Oh, the church is just full of a bunch of hypocrites, or they're all judgmental people, or they're nasty people, or they say one thing on Sunday, live somewhat. You've heard it all, right? We get all this criticism. We need to be the champions of saying, you know what? Christians aren't perfect. I'm not perfect. But you know what? The body of Christ is still a great thing. That people sincerely loving the Lord, we're trying to make progress. We love each other. We encourage each other. We pray for each other. We serve together. We get along. We're all about doing one thing. We should be, I don't know if this may not be proper grammatic use of language, but we should be very anxious to gossip about how good things are in our church. Maybe gossip isn't the right word, but it got your attention anyway. Just what God's doing. And make sure it's not like, oh, we're the only church on the planet that God's doing anything good in. That's certainly not the case. But this is the church you're part of. And let something of that harmony reverberate off the eardrums and the walls of people you come in contact. The verse one more time. It says it this way. It says, and they continued daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house. They did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. The body language for today, one accord. Let us be those that contribute to harmony rather than discord. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for just some time to look at this little phrase. Father, I thank you that this is a church that I sincerely believe is practicing this. Not that we don't have room for improvement. That's always going to be the case. But Lord, we want to give you credit for what you've done in lives and in hearts and bringing together a group of people who love you and want to serve you. We want to major on our purpose and the person of the Lord Jesus, not about self-will or self-determination. So we thank you for that, but Lord, we also don't take it for granted. Lord, all of us continually face choices, we face temptations, we face challenges, where any one of us could be that one sour note that brings disharmony to the chord, to the music, to the sound that this world hears. Lord, we don't want to be, even if it is a poor excuse, we certainly don't want to be an excuse for anyone looking down on the church or holding with disdain the claims of Christ or the reality of the gospel. So, Lord, I pray that you, through the power of the Spirit who indwells us and on the authority of the Word that informs us, and Lord, before the God who made us, may we be people who are people that with one accord do what we do for your glory. Help us in that, we ask. In Christ's name, amen.